Welcome to ICMA's Local Gov Life. I'm Rob Carty. This monthly podcast focuses on a topic of interest to local government professionals and takes it for a spin, with stories that share fresh approaches and ideas that you can apply to your life and in your community. This month, we take an in-depth look at how local development and engagement initiatives help create a greater sense of community among citizens and boost their local economy. This month's episode was inspired by August's PM Magazine cover story on revitalization and Main Street transformation. In the article, Patrice Frey, president and CEO of the National Main Street Center in Chicago, Illinois, discusses how local leaders can use a strategy called Main Street Approach to revitalize their downtown districts. We discuss this topic with Patrice's husband, Wally Bobkowitz, city manager of Evanston, Illinois, and Wally's colleague, Demir Latinovich, the city's neighborhood and land use planner. Livability.com ranked Evanston as having the 10th best downtown in the United States. Wally explains what makes Evanston's downtown unique.
Well, the city of Evanston and our downtown has a long history of really being very unique and different in the Chicagoland area. Not only do we have really unique access to the region through both the Chicago Transit Authority as well as the regional hard rail system, but we're also located along Lake Michigan and the home of Northwestern University. So all of those factors, I think, have really allowed us to create a place that people really enjoy living, working, going to school, shopping.
But location isn't the only key to having a nationally recognized downtown. Cities need to provide a welcoming and accommodating atmosphere for businesses that choose to relocate there. Wally explains that one of the ways Evanston does this is by offering newcomers resources through the city's business toolbox.
So that as different businesses are looking to relocate here or expand here, we have a variety of things that we can help be helpful with. If there's issues of transportation, we work closely with the CTA and Metra to make sure that there are bus passes and rail passes available. That also helps with the development of new buildings so that there's less parking required. Issues of support for facade improvements. We've used tax increment finance districts. All of those things, I think, have helped us be very successful.
Evanston also makes high-quality building design a priority, which helps attract both businesses and residents to the downtown area. Demir explains.
We have a staff-only committee that really focuses on creating quality design and new developments. That staff-only committee has to review every project before they move on through the entitlement process to city council and down the road. So we really feel that the quality of the design is the backbone of success story for Evanston, not only currently but also in the future.
Evanston is going for an urban feel to attract residents.
We're seeing many more couples and young families wanting to retain an urban flavor to their lifestyle and see Evanston as an opportunity to do that. So what we have tried to do is we've tried to be supportive of social amenities, coffee shops, boutiques, cafes that really help make up that urban center. And one project we're especially proud of is we took a former CVS pharmacy that was vacant and helped a group come up with a kids cafe and play center called Little Beans.
As Evanston looks ahead, city officials continue striving to keep growing the downtown district to meet the needs of current and future residents and maintain their high livability standards. Wally explains how.
As we move forward over the next several years, we're really looking at approaches that kind of help us manage the livability and have everything that we do as an organization be looked at through various lenses to help us move in that direction. Probably three issues, though, that are really key for us as we look ahead over the next 5 to 10 years. Leveraging our age-friendly initiative, continuing to work closely with Northwestern University, and continuing to make the most of our transit and mobility issues. We feel those are three keys for us moving forward over the next 5 or 10 years to be the most livable city.
You can learn more about the Main Street approach in this month's PM cover story at icma.org/PM. Downtowns are not just about local economic development. They're also a great place to attract citizens. In our next segment, we look at how one Canadian community used a unique strategy to attract more citizens to the downtown area. David Rauch, budget analyst for the City of Edmonton, Canada, found an innovative way to engage his community through music.
I had recently moved to Edmonton from the Chicago area and was kind of getting used to the city and getting used to the people there and what are their interests. And I kind of found that Edmonton has this great grassroots, you know, just do-it-yourself mentality of, you know, community projects. And I found that I was working, you know, for the city in the urban planning area, and they're always talking about animating public spaces and making public spaces really fun and engaging. And I saw a presentation from some folks in Vancouver, and they said, yeah, you know, we've taken these upright pianos and we put them in outdoor public spaces. And I thought to myself, like, that sounds like a really great way to kind of get involved in the community. I love the piano. I've been playing it my whole life. So we, you know, real quickly, we went from like, oh, that'd be a really fun idea, to having our first two pianos out back to back in less than a month. It was amazing.
Pianos pose a unique challenge given their weight, cost, and the care needed to maintain them. So David began reaching out across his community to help turn his idea into reality.
It took this total community effort to be able to get this project from, you know, start to finish. It involved a lot of volunteer work. What ends up happening is, you know, we put out a call for pianos and people offer to donate them to us. Then I sent out about 100 cold calls to all sorts of different community organizations and just private ventures.
With the help of volunteers and even a donation from a dueling piano bar, Edmonton was able to launch this project for around $1,000. The piano installation was a hit with Edmonton's residents. David sums up how the pianos help citizens connect with the city and with each other.
I think, you know, of course, that's the most beautiful part of a project like this. Like, you always make things and you hope that it resonates with people, that it makes people's lives better, and that, you know, it enlivens your downtown. And this one really seemed to connect with people. And maybe it's because everybody, you know, whether they like it or not, most people were forced to take piano lessons when they were younger. And so they have this special, like, feeling with it. And since so many people, especially maybe people who you wouldn't assume are talented in music or playing the piano, you see them and they surprise you by playing something beautiful. You really get emotionally connected to it.
David always anticipated that citizens would enjoy and flock to the pianos, but he never expected what happened one day.
The most impactful moment of the whole thing was this moment when this homeless gentleman, Ryan, so he was playing the piano and a person was, you know, just taking a video of him playing this song, and it blew up. Like, it was a huge viral sensation. I remember somebody sent me a message and they're like, David, like, somebody took a video of somebody playing the piano at your piano and it has like 20,000 hits. And like, well, that's not so much, but like, that's a lot more than I've been posting a lot of piano, you know, videos. And I sent that link to my girlfriend. I'm like, this 20,000 hits, like, that's amazing. She's like, David, I think you should look back at how many hits this thing has. And I come back and it's like 400,000. And you're like, what? And then I go to sleep, and the next day my, like, Twitter is exploding as well, and it's up to like 1 million. And then you get there the next day and it's on People online and the Huffington Post and all of the major newspapers in Canada and some of them in the States. And then, you know, I think it's up to like, you know, 8 or 9 million views right now. And it's this beautiful song by this, you know, homeless gentleman who's been homeless for, you know, a dozen years. And, you know, he's been playing piano, you know, in as many places as he can before he, like, gets kicked out. And this was a place that he could play. There are a bunch of videos of him playing online, and it's an original song. And, like, And this is like something that, you know, you just don't, you can't write this stuff if you wanted to. And he's doing all right right now. Like he was in, you know, like a transitional home for the first time in a really long time. And there was this beautiful story because I know one of the things that they bought with the proceeds from the licensing was a piano. And it was his first piano that he ever owned in his life. What a beautiful thing to help be a part of.
Unfortunately, due to the fact that pianos deteriorate quickly outside, the pianos are no longer in downtown Edmonton. But that doesn't mean it was a failure. Think about what this all accomplished. Not only did it help Dave become part of a new community, but it also got people coming downtown, and they ended up helping a citizen in need in a most unexpected way. In our final section, Peggy Maris, city manager of Decatur, Georgia, tells how the city's thriving downtown was almost eliminated. Her story begins in the late 1970s.
What really was the kind of catalyst to our current effort was we had a plan that was presented to our Decatur City Commission that would have basically, for the most part, demolished our downtown area and called for it to be redeveloped into a suburban business park. That was pretty much the enough is enough turning point, and that was the genesis of our Decatur Town Center plan.
This plan, which is still used today, helped establish professional management of the downtown area. Peggy shared with us the main thinking behind the Town Center plan.
You have to build community development before you can have economic development, which meant you had to have the community around you willing to invest and willing to see something as important before you could kind of market or make that important to other people.
During the first 15 years of the plan, Decatur focused on building that sense of community. Just as David did in Edmonton, Decatur used the power of music.
When I got here in 1983, there weren't many people on the street after 5 o'clock. And so the first real effort was we started a concert series, Wednesdays during lunch and Saturdays at night. And it really, the Wednesday at lunch one started to, so people could come out, grab a sandwich, listen to a concert, maybe go to a shop in a store. And it was really interesting that it did bring people out. Over the time period, the last 30 years, it's now the Wednesday concerts are kind of like a mom's morning out, and every stroller within 2 or 3 miles of Decatur seems to descend on us on Wednesday afternoons.
This was just one of the many ways Decatur was able to create that sense of community. By focusing on the community development aspect before business and economic development, Decatur was able to increase citizen enthusiasm, which laid the foundation for a successful downtown. Having this foundation allowed Decatur to take advantage of a lucky break in the summer of 1996. Peggy explains.
We were, I will have to say, fortunate enough to have the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. And we've been trying to get in-town housing development done and business development done. And we would hear from the housing folks, oh, you don't have enough business yet. We need places for our folks to go. The business folks, well, you don't have enough people down here. They need to be living here, so you don't have a critical mass that'll be here. So it's kind of, we were wanting to show these folks that we could bring a critical mass to the downtown on a sustained basis. And we also wanted to make it for people who wanted to live here to say, oh, wow, there is a lot I can do by just literally walking out my door.
During the Olympics, Decatur hosted a local festival that attracted a majority of the spectators out of Atlanta and to the downtown. This showed the developers that Decatur is the perfect place to invest. Fast forward 20 years from those initial investments, and Decatur has a nationally recognized downtown, even earning a spot on the American Planning Association's 10 Great Neighborhoods in America. However, they are now dealing with an issue that many developed cities encounter.
What we've developed is a really high quality of life, which is really good, with what is the cost of that for people who are economically disadvantaged, or the, you know, what is their quality of life? How do we not price people out of the market, but still do what has become expected of us? And some of that means things are different. You know, we're going with higher densities in our downtown. We're trying to do some affordable apartments And they may not be right in the central part of downtown. They're going to be pretty close. Relying on transit, we have three transit stops for our MARTA system, which is our mass transit system. How do we redevelop along those corridors so people don't inherently have to have the cost of owning or maintaining a vehicle? And that's maybe a trade-off for living spaces. There are a lot of wins. I mean, we've gotten amazing people moving here, and certainly they want to feel part of a community, but it's a delicate balance not to lose what it is that got you here.
With careful attention to the needs of all its residents, the city of Decatur is focused on maintaining a vibrant, livable city for generations to come. And that's it for this episode of Local Gov Life. Let us know what you think about the ideas that Wally, Demir, Dave, and Peggy shared with us by going to icma.org/episode3 and leaving a comment. Subscribe now to the Local Gov Life podcast series and tell a friend about us. Also, be sure to rate us on iTunes and share on social media. We rely on you to help grow our audience. I'm Rob Carty. Thank you for listening to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life.